Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Dylan Crozier of the Campus Conflict Resolution Services at Durham College. Today we're going to look at the different conflict management styles and how each conflict management style has a different potential impact on the path that a conflict will take. If handled well, conflict is an opportunity to increase communication and improve relationships. Depending on the intended outcome, an appropriate style can be employed to influence the intended impact. If we understand different conflict management styles and the likely impact each style has on the outcome of a situation, we are better equipped to make effective choices. We all have a preferred or default approach when we react to a conflict. The key is to assess the situation in an effort to make an informed choice. One of the main contributing factors that make conflicts more difficult to deal with is the level of emotion involved. A heightened level of emotion sabotages our ability to be thoughtful in responding rather than reacting to a situation. Emotions intensify the challenge to act beyond our default style. So let's talk about choices in conflict for a second. In conflict situation, parties' interests are or appear to be in competition. The choices that we make decide the path the conflict will take. So at the beginning of a conflict, we see a situation arise where the parties' interests are or appear to be in competition. Then we move into the choices that can be made and how to respond to the situation. You can either A, respond, which has a task or problem-solving focus, where parties who are aware of the potential for escalation choose to think through how they will respond, or we can B, react, which is more of the emotional focus, where parties who are unprepared react reflexively, defensively, and emotionally. This show looks at different options for conflict resolution and provides ideas to assist in deciding which approach to use in dealing with different personalities and situations. There are two basic things to consider when deciding how to handle a conflict. One is your commitment to reaching your own goals. This refers to the extent at which your goals or concerns need to be satisfied from your perspective. It is your level of assertiveness in a conflict. The second is your commitment to the relationship. This refers to the extent to which the goals or concerns of the other person need to be satisfied from your perspective. This speaks to the importance of the relationship and is all about your level of cooperativeness. These criteria can be used to identify five different styles of dealing with conflict. All five styles are appropriate if used at the right time and in the right context. But if we react to a conflict using a style that is inappropriate, we often see problems arise and conflicts fall out of our control. So let's just list the five styles of approaching conflict right now. First is the competing style, which is high on assertiveness with little value placed on the relationship. A way to sum that up is it's my way or the highway. Power comes from a position of strength. The second style is the collaborating style, which is high on assertiveness and has a high value placed on the relationship. Let's do it our way. This is what I prefer. What do you want? Power comes from openness, clarity, and cooperation. The third style is the avoiding style, which is low on assertiveness and places a low value on the relationship. No way. Let's not make a big deal out of this. Power comes from silence and lack of cooperation. The fourth style is the accommodating style, which is low in assertiveness, but highly values the relationship. Okay, whatever you say, we'll do it your way. Power comes from relationships and the approval of others. The fifth style is called the compromising style. Moderately assertive, moderate value on the relationship. Okay, I'll meet you halfway. Power comes from moderation and reasonableness. Let's take a closer look at each of the five styles of managing conflict, starting with avoiding, often called the turtling style of conflict management. This approach is highly unassertive and uncooperative, preferring not to address the needs or interests or goals of either party. It shows a low commitment to the goal and to the relationship. This is the most common method of dealing with conflict, especially by people who see conflict as a bad thing. There are different types of avoiding. I'll give you a few examples. There's leaving the situation. You might withdraw mentally from the conflict. You might try to change the subject. You'll blame or minimize problems. You might deny that the problem exists entirely. You'll procrastinate dealing with the conflict. Or if you're using emotions to deal with the conflict, it's frequent to see you crying or angry outbursts in an attempt to distract from the conflict at hand. What occurs when a conflict is often avoided? The issue is not dealt with, disputes can build up and explode, and the issue does not go away, but goes underground and involves more people. There are effective uses of the avoiding style. You might want to use it when the situation is of no importance, when you have no power over the situation, or you cannot change the outcome, when the damage caused by the conflict is out of proportion to the situation. It can also be considered a temporary strategy to allow reflection when you retreat. If there's a tight timeline that does not allow the issue to be addressed, like an emergency, the avoiding style is not ideal. And when there is a risk of physical harm. Next, we'll talk about the competing style, which is associated with the animal, with tigers. This approach is highly assertive and highly uncooperative. It's in pursuit of one's own goals at the expense of the other. It shows a high commitment to the goal and a low commitment to the relationship. When one person acts in a competitive manner, he or she often influences the approach of the other person to be competitive as well. Here are some examples of types of competing. Power of authority, position, or majority, the power of persuasion, pressuring techniques like threats, force, or intimidation, and attempts to disguise the issue. So what happens when you are competitive in a conflict most of the time? The conflict may escalate or the other person may withdraw. It reduces the quality and durability of agreements made. It increases the likelihood of future problems between parties. It restricts communication, decreases trust, and always affects morale. It also increases stress, which can lead to health problems. There are effective ways to use the competing strategy, though. If there's an emergency that requires quick action, if you are responsible for supporting unpopular rules of discipline, tough decisions that require leadership choices, and as a way to protect yourself from someone who may take advantage of your cooperative behavior. The third style is the accommodating style, which is associated with teddy bears. This approach is unassertive and highly cooperative. Often you neglect your own concerns in order to satisfy those of the other. It shows low commitment to the goal and high commitment to the relationship, such as when a person sets aside his or her own needs or interests to satisfy the needs or interests of the other party. Some types of accommodation are playing down the conflict to maintain surface harmony, a self-sacrifice mode, when you yield to the other point of view, and it is used to establish reciprocal accommodations, also to build social credits. What happens when you accommodate most of the time? You tend to improve potential for the other person to be more accommodating to your needs or interests in the future. It does not improve communication. Outcomes are generally not satisfactory to both people, and sometimes people feel taken advantage of. Effective uses of the accommodating style involve when you feel you are right, but you want to show that you are also reasonable. The situation is more important for the other person in the dispute. Preserving harmony is more important than the outcome to potentially improve morale. When you need to build good faith for future problem solving, or you are wrong or in a situation where competition could damage your position. Next, we'll talk about compromising, also associated with the animal, the fox. This behavior is only somewhat assertive and cooperative. Compromising is a useful approach when people are prepared to find any acceptable solution, even though it may only be partially satisfactory to the parties involved. The objective is a quick, mutually acceptable solution where both parties have given up something to meet midway. Types of compromising involve splitting the difference, exchanging concessions, finding a middle ground, and it may result in the introduction of multiple issues. Labor negotiation parties will inflate issues because they know that they will have to compromise. What happens when you compromise most of the time? Both parties may feel they lost, and they might feel the need to get even next time. It will not allow a relationship to be, and at the same time, it should not cause the relationship to deteriorate. Danger of a stalemate always exists, and it does not explore the issue in any depth, so you won't be dealing with any underlying issues. There are effective ways to compromise, though. When there's a need for a temporary agreement with regards to a complex situation, the other party has power equal to yours, and you are firmly committed to the various goals or objectives. Time pressures require quick solutions, and it can be used as a backup if collaboration or competition fails. Next, we'll talk about the collaborative approach, which is associated with the owl. This approach is highly assertive and highly cooperative, attempting to achieve goals and interests of both people involved. It shows a greater attempt to meet the concerns of the other person as well as your own. Types of collaboration involve maximizing use of fixed resources, working to increase resources, listening and communicating to promote understanding of interests and values, and learning from each other's insights. Effective uses of collaborations are when people are committed to the process and adequate time is available. The issue is too important to compromise. There's a desire to work through hard feelings that may have been a deterrent to problem solving, and participants are often future focused. If you would like to know how you typically respond to conflict in a given situation, feel free to contact us at CCRS for a free assessment. And if you have any comments or questions on how CCRS can help you, or if you have any show suggestions, feel free to email us at ccrs@durhamcollege.ca. Now I'm going to be interviewing one of my classmates, Colleen. And hey, Colleen, it's lovely to have you on the show today. I'm glad you're here to share your conflict with us. Let's just see if you could summarize your conflict with us.
Hi, Dylan. Thanks for having me. So absolutely. So it's sad to say, but about a year ago, myself and at the time, a really good friend of mine, well, we got into a bit of a dispute. For the sake of this, we'll say her name is Angela, which it really isn't. But anyways, we had a big falling out in our friendship basically what happened was she had kind of lost herself. She started doing things that were far out of her character. And the way she started acting towards me was a little bit disrespectful and hostile. She was in my program at UIT, so I let it all go, kind of hoping things would get better and solve themselves. But that never really happened. So school ended, we graduated, and gradually we got more distant until one day it all came out. And she was mad at me that I didn't tell her what was bothering me, and I was kind of mad at her that she didn't really realize what was going on. From there on, our friendship kind of diminished.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, Colleen. My next question would be, what level of conflict would you classify this dispute as?
I would probably say it was mild. I mean, nobody was physically hurt, and the majority of it took place over text messages, so there wasn't really anything negative that was said. But all in all, it didn't escalate very much, so I would say mild.
Now, who do you consider the primary disputants in this conflict? Were there secondary or tertiary people being affected by your arguments?
The primary disputants, I would say, was myself and Angela. It stayed between the two of us, so just us two were the primary. As for secondary and tertiary, our common group of friends, I would say, were secondary disputants, as they were affected by the actions as well, and some of them don't talk to her anymore either. As for tertiary disputants, I would say maybe our families were affected through a ripple effect.
Now, I'm curious, what was your approach to this conflict, and do you think it was the most successful approach you could have taken?
At the beginning, I ignored it, so I don't really think it was very successful. Once school was all said and done, it became a little bit more confrontational. Again, not a successful method to deal with conflict.
Of the five animals we talked about today, which one do you think you tend to embody when you face a conflict?
I think I would probably embody the wise owl. At least that's what the quizzes I've done have told me. I placed a high value on our relationship, and I even gave her another chance at one point to rehash things, but it didn't work out. So I would say the owl for the high relationship value.
Perfect. And which of these five styles do you feel the person you were in conflict with, Angela, I think you said, used with this dispute?
She started out by avoiding the issue, and then she became a little bit competitive when she found out how I was really feeling. Given that, yeah, I would say she was avoidable and competitive, so a mixture of both.
Which of these five styles do you find most difficult to work with when you're in conflict with someone?
I think they all have a bit of a downfall, so I would say they all are a bit difficult to handle. Avoiding can be difficult to work with as they're not really engaging in the conflict, so why should I keep trying? Competing is a little bit difficult too because the other party may come off very aggressive. Accommodating and compromising are also difficult because they may not put in any input and contribution to the argument.
Awesome. Hindsight's always 20/20, but what would you do differently if you could go back in time and have a second go at dealing with this conflict?
I would probably take her advice and tell her what was bothering me at the time and not avoid it. But again, know your audience, know the time and place of things. And I just ultimately felt it wasn't the right time. But I'm happy with how things are now, so really not much.
Last question, I promise. I know you were heavily involved with the Campus Conflict Resolution Services here. I was wondering if there's anything you'd like to promote about our service here on our Blog Talk radio show.
Absolutely. Well, with the new semester, we have Vendors Alley on Thursdays from 12 to 1, just across Computer Commons. Come by and we'll be happy to talk to you and give you some info as much as we can. In March, we'll be starting out our Mediation March, so there'll be various events throughout the month. Also, March 23rd will be our 6th anniversary event, so students are welcome to come. As well, check out our Durham College Campus Conflict Facebook page and CCRS, Durham CCRS on Twitter for our updates.
Thank you so much for coming in to talk with us, Colleen. This is Dylan reminding you all that the art of listening is not about waiting for your turn to speak. Tune in February 4th for the next segment of our show.